If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, August the 4th, 2026. And as always, we thank you for listening to AFR. joining me in studio this morning is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Morning to you, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
Now, I mentioned yesterday about, on a personal note, going to the National Baseball Tournament in Lafayette, Louisiana, to watch my 10-year-old grandson play and my 37-year-old son coach. So, and they brought home the gold. So, give it up.
Yes.
Give it up. Clap.
Which is why I wasn't in the office yesterday. I was still celebrating.
You celebrated and got home to finding out your...
Oh, yeah. I came home. My AC was broke in the middle.
So, here you are. You won the national championship in baseball for 10-year-olds in for this league, the U-SSSA. Just on cloud nine.
That's right.
Drive 6-7 hours home. Everybody's smiling.
We were.
Get home to your house. It's August the 3rd. Walk in and no AC.
87 degrees right. Went red inside.
Bring you right back down to earth.
That's right. Yeah, Chelsea walked in and then walked back out.
Would you ever get your AC fixed?
They got it fixed this morning.
Okay. So, praise God for that.
That's
as important as winning a national championship in baseball.
It sure felt like it. when I got the report this morning that we won and our AC's back on, then
if you don't have an AC in for Chris, you know, have you ever been out of an AC in August
sure
in Mississippi?
I sure have. A couple of years ago, our AC went out, and the guy came to repair it. It turned out, you know, he got it back running, but it was well into the 80s. I think it was probably the upper 80s.
Inside the house?
Inside the house.
Oh, I'm going out.
We actually were without power.
I'm going to the car. I'm going to the car to sleep.
Over the weekend, we were the only house in our little neighborhood that didn't have any electricity. And so we were
without. What happened to y'all? What happened there? In fact, I don't want to get it personal.
When we had that storm move in Friday night, something happened. I don't know if it was a lightning strike on one of the light poles in our backyard, but it hit our pole, and we didn't have any power.
Oh, wow.
And then they showed up to help us, but they went to the wrong house and assumed, okay, they're back on, and then they left. And so,
so you're telling me, of all the houses in the neighborhood, yours was the one who was struck by lightning?
Yes.
Not your house itself, but
the light pole. My daughter saw sparks coming off the pole.
Would that be a case where somebody's not living right?
I was just going to say, do you want to confess?
Yeah.
Something going on there.
I tell you, it will improve your prayer life. I actually think, you know how like churches sometimes will recognize veterans or first responders in the congregations? We should take a moment in the Bible Belt here in the South, the Deep South, on Sundays to recognize AC repairmen.
I
mean, because when the church AC goes out, they find a guy.
Yeah, just like you find, or just like we recognize those that serve in the military, recognize those that...
They're on the front
AC repairman on the front line.
I don't know how people did it back in the day here.
That reminds me, back before air conditioning, you know, many churches use the old funeral home fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the little handheld fans that had the advertisements for the funeral home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Nova Scotia where most people don't have air conditioning.
Yeah. Because you don't need it in the summer.
So when it hits 75, everybody's really, you know, this is really hot. Mm-hmm. But in church, it was the church bulletin.
The bulletin doubled as the fan.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah, that was the signal to the preacher. 3 points, got to be out of here by noon.
So it wasn't necessarily that it was that hot in there. That was just a signal?
Yeah. That's
or both?
Well, it's both.
Okay.
Because in that part of the world, when you reach 75 plus, man, this is miserable.
Yeah. The preacher, if you don't have AC... in the summertime, anywhere in the country almost.
Yeah.
And the preacher goes more than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He's going to get the look, I think, from and, probably many men.
And if people are sweating, it's not because of conviction.
Yeah. Hey, I want to bring us back. I got one kind of funny. There was a lot of memories made in Lafayette.
You told me in the baseball tournament.
In the baseball tournament, there was a lot of memories made. We can't do all of them, but two of them that come to mind, one of them's a little more funny, one's a little more spiritual. But
let me set this up for those who don't know. You're the head coach of a all-star team that represented North Mississippi that went to Lafayette, Louisiana to compete in a national baseball tournament. So teams from all over the country went down there and had a like a 5-day tournament, and you guys ended up winning your division.
That's right.
Which was 10 years old in the particular division. So anyway, I just wanted people to know what the background is. Go ahead.
So there was a lot of great baseball, a lot of great coaching, a lot of memories made, a lot of great conversations on the field. And I was talking to the Florida coach pregame, just small talk while the coin's being flipped and – players are taking infield, outfield, and I said, I'm just curious, how'd you put your team together? And he goes, yeah, well, you know, we've played against each other for a little while, we've known each other, so I just kind of took the best of four or five different teams in the area and put them together, it worked out. We've had a couple practices, and that's, you know, kind of down there. Okay. I said, so where are y'all from? He said, oh, we're all kind of from the same area. I said, well, where's that? He goes, well, Tampa. And I go, okay, well, that's
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida, yeah.
3 million people.
Right, yeah. That's what he said. So we're on that little area right there. And I said, okay. He's like, where are y'all from? I said, well, I said, similar in the sense we're made up of about four or five different teams. We've known each other. That story's all the same for us, too, as well. I said, we're from Tupelo, Mississippi. And he said, where's that? And he was serious. He was serious. But it was funny. So the same thing happened with the Ohio coach. They were all from, most of them were from the Columbus area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was funny. And then another memory that was made there was more of on the lines of a spiritual thing. One of our assistant coaches, Thomas Riley, he had the idea that after we finished going into the final four games, that there were four games left. So he shared the story of David and Goliath and how they were five stones. He only needed one. He used one, and that they were four stones left. And some commentators will say they were for his brothers and other things. And he said, well, since he had four stones left, we got four games left. We got four giants we need to face.
Slay.
Yeah. Before we win the last one. So with each win, we're going to throw a stone away. And we did that, and sure enough, it worked out to where we threw a stone away, and my son Bennett was able to throw the final stone away. He threw it into center field as far as he could and got it in the road. And
so God was on your side.
Well, you know, I wanted to set that up by saying that I'm very conscientious about misleading the kids to believe that a victory has some correlation with your faith or anything like that.
Right,
because
right.
You can win or lose.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
The outcome. In fact, I'll always say that we do our best and leave the results up to God, and that's including losing, winning, or losing. So, but anyways, it did work out. Our coaches did a great job of teaching a lot of lessons from the game of baseball.
Character building.
But those two were very – one was funny and one was really
– I prefer to learn character lessons when you win.
That's right.
When you lose,
they're hard to swallow.
That's right.
I appreciate you mentioning that God still loves you when he loses. As a fan of our school, I needed that.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to today's issue. Speaking of losers – Anthony Fauci would fall into that category.
Yeah.
Dr. Anthony Fauci. We're going to talk about, we haven't talked about this, what happened last week. He made an appearance before the Congress in a committee.
Senate
committee hearing. And he took the Fifth Amendment many, many, many times.
111 times.
You counted them?
Yes. And Fox did, too, because they kept right. flashing it up there.
So, Frank Turek's with us. We're going to – Frank, you with us there, brother?
I plead the Fifth.
Frank pleads the Fifth, whether he's with us or not, even though he's on the phone. Okay.
I have to get another booster.
Is this – Are you mocking Fauci's accent? Where is he from? I don't even know.
He's from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, okay.
He's from Brooklyn.
He's from Fauci.
I had my 15th booster.
Okay. That's why you have three heads. Uh-huh. So what we're about to do, we're going to play a clip here from NFL quarterback, help me out.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay. We don't normally play Aaron Rodgers' commentary on science and health. He's had his own health issues for the last few years. But anyway, he's playing his last year. But Aaron Rodgers is outspoken on some issues, okay? So he was asked on a radio show or a podcast about he was asked about football. But he decided he didn't want to talk about football. He wanted to talk about Anthony Fauci. So we're going to play this clip just for fun to hear what Aaron Rodgers says, and then we'll get Frank to talk about what Aaron Rodgers is talking about. Go ahead.
Can you tell us about the mindset of coming into your last season? Like, that's a real thing, it feels like, because is everything better? Is everything funner? Is everything more awesome? Like, how do you kind of view this year versus maybe the years of the past?
I'm going to plead the Fifth.
Okay.
Like gotta that. Love that guy.
Like that absolute coward, Tony Fauci. Absolute coward.
Yeah. Hey, it's back, baby.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, 111
times. You got a pardon, and you're in front, and you pleaded over 100 times at the White House? What are you scared of, Tony? Yeah. I thought you were the science.
Yeah.
I am science, and you get up there and you can't answer a question?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And how much time did the network spend on that? How much time did they spend on my responses every week, on my vaccination status, on Taylor and Travis's wedding? Did they do even a minute? Did they do even a minute on Tony Fauci?
No, I don't think I've heard anything.
I bet they did.
I think that's a Pat McAfee show, probably, isn't it?
Okay. Sounds like it, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's a popular show and podcast, a Pat McAfee show on ESPN. Aaron Rodgers, what do you think about that, Frank? What he's talking about?
Well, you remember this had to go back to the 2021 season, maybe? Maybe 2020-21
COVID?
Season. Yeah, you know, everyone was trying to force everyone to get vaccinated, and he said, I'm immunized. And what he meant by that was he didn't get the vaccine, but...
Tell me about Aaron Rodgers' response to being forced to be vaccinated.
Yeah, okay. They were trying to force him to do it, and he didn't want to put it into his body. This thing hasn't been tested. And, of course, in retrospect, we realize how many negative effects this so-called vaccine had, which really wasn't a vaccine. It was kind of gene therapy. It was never tested. Fauci actually delayed it, so it came out after the election of 2020. He didn't want Trump getting any credit for it. Turned out that he wanted apparently Biden to win, because remember Trump had that Operation Warp Speed to try and get a vaccine for this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, it wasn't just Fauci doing this kind of nefarious stuff, trying to shut everybody up, but his boss, Francis Collins, who claims to be a Christian, was actively suppressing Stanford-trained epidemiologists from saying, hey, we don't think this is a good idea. And even the Biden administration is putting pressure on social media platforms to censor people who were saying the vaccine has problems. And this is what Aaron Rodgers is pointing out now. And we know it has had problems. And we know that certain heart conditions have been triggered by this vaccine. Rodgers, for a football player, was right five years ago when all this happened, and now he's basically taken a victory lap.
I want to ask you this. I did not watch the hearings. Raise your hand.
You didn't miss anything.
I just saw clips. Fred, you watched most of it?
Most of it, yeah.
Okay, my question is, and Frank, did you watch a lot of it?
I watched probably the first half hour until he kept saying, on the advice of my counsel.
I'm
going to take the Fifth. It's so, like he wasn't going to say anything. But notice, Tim, he started out with like a 5-minute opening statement. Mm-hmm. What happened to the Fifth Amendment there? Right. And he's already got a pardon. Why is he taking the Fifth?
That's a good point. So, Fred, That's my question, in only seeing the highlights or lowlights, if you call it, of Dr. Anthony Fauci's appearance there before the Senate committee. Why did he take the Fifth Amendment so many times? What was the reason for that?
Well, it was because the Republicans came up with his diary, part of their investigation into what happened during
COVID.
Not his
personal diary about what he had for dinner.
No. This
but
is
his
what
professional
he kept,
diary.
What he kept on his government computers.
Okay, it wasn't a personal diary that somebody seized.
No. It was all about during the toing and froing, and you know, some of the entries that he put on his computer. I'm a rock star, you know. Look, this one's talking about me. This one. It certainly, what it unveiled was a guy with a massive ego and believing that he had so much power, and he was given a lot of power.
And he did say, I am science. He did say that.
I am science. And what it also revealed, this diary, was that basically he was admitting it came from a lab, you know, and it was a confession of some type that the skeptics about what he was doing at the time and what he was saying at the time, the skeptics were right.
But what he was saying, Anthony Fauci, you guys feel free to jump in here. What he was saying public, what is revealed in these diary entries is that what he was saying publicly was behind in private, he was... he was inconsistent on what he said. For example, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was, by the way, he was the number one infectious doctor in the country. I forgot what the title is. Center for...
I'll look it up.
Anyway, so he was... CDC. Nobody knew who he was until COVID came along, and then boom, he's the number one expert in the country that everybody's looking to. But the point is, he said, Anthony Fauci, originally, that this came from the COVID virus I'm talking about, came from bats in the wild in China. Okay. And that's what he believed. Okay. But he didn't want to, but later, you guys, again, he admitted or said that, yes, it's quite possible it came privately. He was saying the Wuhan lab, which I think everybody knew this came from a lab, okay? This escaped from a lab. This didn't come from bats in the wild. So, Fred, comment on that, then Frank, then go ahead, Wesley. What was his title?
Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
That's what he was in charge of. Go ahead, Fred.
So, when the Republicans got this diary from his computers, his work computers, there was great inconsistency, as you pointed out, between what he was saying officially at the time and what he was saying to his friends.
Yes, colleagues, even.
So that's why he was subpoenaed to come before Senator Rand Paul, Dr. Rand Paul, chairman of the Homeland Security.
And they're tight.
Yeah.
Anthony and Rand.
Yeah.
They're
no Christmas presents.
They hang out, they golf, they fish.
They may have at one point, but not anymore.
So Anthony Fauci shows up with two lawyers and reads the statements, has been pointed out. But then from that point on, he takes the Fifth because he knew he was going to be questioned about his entries into that diary. But it got a little ridiculous at some points. Who was the Republican senator? Said, what color is your tie?
That was Josh Hawley.
Josh Hawley. What color is your tie?
Yeah.
Fauci, I take the Fifth.
Right.
On the advice of my lawyer, I take the Fifth.
On the what color of his tie?
Yeah. What color is the carpet? On the advice of my lawyer, I take the Fifth. He was made to look like a fool.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the sad thing is, despite that being really good television, a lot of television networks that have news outlets just completely ignored.
Well, they're fans of Anthony Fauci.
Sure.
They're if it makes him look bad, they're not going to cover it. That's what Aaron Rodgers was talking about, Frank, right there.
Yeah, well, the Babylon Bee has the right headline. Here's the headline. Fauci starting to think that maybe keeping a daily perjury diary was a bad idea.
Good diary.
Yeah.
But here's kind of the macro sort of 30,000-foot view of this. When Fauci says he's science, what he's forgetting is that science doesn't say anything. Scientists say things. And what he and Francis Collins did is they tried to censor scientists who had a different opinion. Why do I say science doesn't say anything scientists do? Because all data needs to be gathered and all data needs to be interpreted. And who interprets the data? Mm-hmm. Scientists do. Science doesn't say a word. There's no such thing as a personality to science. Science is just a term we use where human beings take initiative to create hypotheses, run experiments, and gather the data and come up with a conclusion. And censoring people who disagree with you is not how science is supposed to run. Science is supposed to be open to peer review and correction by other people. And what Collins and Fauci tried to do was shut that whole thing down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what most people were angry about was this. Most people I know is that two or three things happened that one is that the medical community combined with the scientific community and the news media and the big social media, they wanted to promote one response, one to the COVID virus. Number one is you have to get the vaccine when it came out.
Yep.
And if you didn't, you were killing people. Okay. That was never true. And this vaccine, as Frank pointed out, which wasn't a true vaccine, okay, as even Joe Biden said, it doesn't stop people from getting COVID and it doesn't stop you from spreading COVID. So I'm going like, what's the point? But if the vaccine would have been rolled out and you, and said, get it, this is available, it might help, get it if you want to, okay, this is America, then I think everybody had been fine with it. But when they started that whole conglomerate of groups I just mentioned a few minutes ago, and including the federal government, just started jamming that down your throat that if you didn't get this vaccine, which was rushed to market, then you're an evil person. You're a bad person. And you know what, military? You don't get this COVID vaccine shot, we're kicking you out of the military. Remember when that happened?
Hey, whatever happened to my body, my choice?
Yeah.
Well, whatever happened to that? Yeah. Now, in this case, it makes sense because there's only one body. In the case of abortion, there are two bodies, and you don't kill the person inside you for some sort of choice, but you do have a choice about taking a vaccine because that just affects you. And yet people were out there saying, you need to take this.
We all know people who lost their jobs, their livelihood, because they wouldn't take this experimental.
People miss weddings, funerals, people, jobs were small businesses were shut down.
Yeah. While big box stores could stay open. Wasn't that weird? But here's the other thing. I knew we were, first time I heard Anthony Fauci's name was when he double talked on the mask.
Mm-hmm. This was around February or March of that year.
Mm-hmm. He said masks don't work against this virus. Yeah. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he was right about that. When he said that, then 2-3 weeks later,
that's it.
He said, mask up, everybody. Uh-huh. And you're going like, well, wait a minute. Which is it? You're the number one guy. And you've flip flopped in 2-3 weeks here on this. Yeah. It may not have been that timeline, but. Uh-huh. It was close to it. So the bottom line is this fella is got no credibility, even though the liberal media still tries to prop him up. You take the Fifth Amendment 111 times. Go ahead.
And this whole conversation stems from the fact that he's already been pre-pardoned.
Yeah, by Biden.
Here's one
other thing about this, and I don't care if you work for Republican administration or Democrat administration. If you are a public employee and your salary is paid for by the government, particularly in this case, the federal government, in my opinion, you should not have the right to plead the Fifth Amendment.
That's right.
Because if you want to say, I don't want to answer that question, say, I'm not going to answer that question, but you are accountable for your actions to the people of the country because your salary is being paid. You can't just hide, in my opinion, behind the Fifth Amendment, because the Fifth Amendment said, when you plead the Fifth Amendment, you're saying, you know what, I did something criminal, and I don't want to tell you about it.
And the pre-pardon thing, too. What did he do wrong to have to be pardoned from?
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Frank, can you hold on just a minute?
Sure.
Okay, Frank Turek with us. We'll be back momentarily.
Friend, we're living in a defining moment. Today, a woman facing an unexpected pregnancy can order the abortion pill online, often before anyone has the chance to tell her that she is loved, that she's not alone, or that there is hope. That's why you are needed right now. You are made for this moment. At Preborn Network Clinics, mothers are welcomed with compassion, practical support, and a free ultrasound. And when she sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat for the very first time, fear often gives way to hope. In fact, more than 80% of abortion-vulnerable women choose life after seeing their baby on an ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic. That one moment can save a baby's life and open a mother's heart to the hope of Jesus Christ. This is our moment to stand for those who cannot speak for themselves. Just $28 provides one life-saving ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. Please don't wait. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or give securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Together, we can save lives one heartbeat at a time.
Hello, Tim Wildman here, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, maybe you've heard some of my other announcements about our tours in March 2027. We are going to Greece and we're going to Italy. Two separate tours, but you can do both if you want to. The first tour is called The Footsteps of Paul, which will be going to many of the places covered in the book of Acts that happened in Greece. The other tour is Italy, and one of the places we're going to be going is Venice, and we're going to ride the gondola, or the gondola, that Paul took on his trip to Venice. You can read about that in the Bible, too. I'm just kidding, but you can call it a gondola or gondola. I don't care, but if you want to go on one of our tours in 2027, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net.
Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Mark chapter 9, verse 35.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris, and Frank's joining us now. Frank Turek from North Carolina. "I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist" is the name of Frank's radio show, which is heard Saturdays and Sundays right here on American Family Radio. So if you want to hear Frank's show this weekend, Saturday, tune in at 9 a.m. Central Time, and Sunday at 4 p.m. Or Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. The very popular radio show, "I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist." Hey, Frank, you got a new book out. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's called The War on Reality. You know, there's a war on reality. There's a war on identity. There's a war on God. There's a war on biology. There's a war on economics. People actually think that Marxism and socialism are a good thing now. I don't know about you. I haven't noticed anybody getting on rickety boats in Florida to get to Cuba. Have you?
No, Cuba's
hold on, let me think about that for just no.
Cuba's power's out, by the way. Did you see that?
Speaking of power's out. Let's go. Let's go. Let's see what the communist/socialist Marxist utopia of Cuba is like. Or how about the old Soviet Union?
Yeah.
What are people thinking? They're not. That's the problem.
Yeah, but that's socialist done wrong, though. Isn't that right?
Because if we could only do it right with the right people.
Yeah, that's it.
So what's the name of the book? Because I want people to buy it.
It's called The War on Reality, Recovering Truth in a World That Celebrates Lies. In fact, this weekend, we're going to talk about it with my co-author, Phoenix Hayes. And if people pre-order the book, we're going to send them the first chapter or the chapter 10 on Marxism, what we're talking about right now, for free. They just got to go to thewaronreality.com, thewaronreality.com, and we're going to send it to them. And this book also has some fun stuff in it, too, because you can't be – when you're covering these kind of heavy, depressing topics, you got to make it at least some – You got to put some fun in there. So there's some fun in the book as well, because our joyous ride to dystopia can be very depressing without a little levity. So we've got some levity in the book.
Yeah. All right, brother. Well, listen, look forward to reading the book. And also, I just got it in the mail a couple days. So you got it. It's a physical book, but it's also what you mentioned. A virtual or something.
Well, it comes out September 8th, but the thing, we want people to pre-order it, not because we make a lot of money on books, as you know, you don't. But when people pre-order the book, non-Christian bookstores keep an eye on the pre-orders. And if a book is doing well in pre-order, what happens is they go, you know what, we probably ought to get some copies of this for our bookstore. So in other words, we're getting the book in front of non-Christians, which is what we want to do, because the gospel is all through it. So if people pre-order the book at Amazon or wherever you get books, then it'll help us.
That's what hurt me in my singing career. I had no pre-orders. when that happened, a lot of the music stores wouldn't order
they
my
wouldn't, they wouldn't they wouldn't cover Tim
No, they
Wildman
wouldn't order my record.
At the Fillmore.
And this was back in the 70s and 80s when I was my high profile years for my singing career.
There's a lot of competition back then though, too.
Well, yeah, John Denver, James Taylor.
Yeah.
I was trying to break in during that era, and it was tough. All right, Frank, take care, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, and right. I'll see you guys this weekend. The War on Reality.
All right, thank you.
See you.
All right, that's Dr. Frank Turek joining us from North Carolina.
Not Dr. Fauci.
Not Dr. Anthony. I'll take the fifth Fauci.
That's right.
I was saying, you know, we were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Anthony Fauci appeared before the Senate committee, and you took the Fifth Amendment 111 times, Chris, you said?
Yes.
And I was telling you guys, I don't think you should – I'm not against the constitutional protections that the Fifth Amendment allows, which is there for a purpose, because you don't want to give testimony that – maybe self-incriminating. I understand the purpose and reason for the Fifth Amendment. However, this is not a criminal court hearing. Now, maybe he's under oath to give the truth, but when you are in charge, you're the number one guy, and I don't care what federal agency it is, you're the number one guy in charge of a federal agency, and your work should be transparent, and you should not be able to hide behind the Fifth Amendment. You should have to answer for what you wrote and what you said and what you did, because you're a government employee. So the idea that you can be a government correct. It was a government agency, true.
Yeah. Highest paid civil servant.
Mm. Yeah. So how could you? Lois Lerner, that name rings a bell. Did this back in the, the
Biden administration
or Obama? Mm-hmm. It was Obama.
I mean Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. Obama. She was in charge of the IRS. You remember this? And they were denying conservative groups IRS tax exempt status.
Yeah.
And it was proven. And when she was asked to defend her agency, she pleaded the Fifth Amendment. Uh-huh. And I remember thinking, just answer the question, okay? Just say, yeah, we denied them because we thought they were a hate group. That's all you got to say. People can agree or disagree with that. But when you hide behind the Fifth Amendment, I say hide behind, when you plead the Fifth Amendment 111 times, as Anthony Fauci did, then that just screams, I'm guilty of sin, yeah. And I don't want to confess it or say it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought. Fred, any?
No, absolutely. And And for questions, like I say, it really looked ridiculous when Josh Hawley said, "Colors the carpet, I plead the fifth." You know, "What colors your tie? I plead the fifth." He lost. There were some people who, and there are some people who still believe he's a hero, like Dana Bash at CNN.
Yeah. We have that audio if you want to play Dana and RFK Jr.
Oh, I heard it yesterday. Yeah. We played it yesterday.
Yes.
I think so. What was it about RFK? I mean, was it about Anthony Fauci?
It was about COVID in general and how the media was.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure. We'll hear now. What are we about to hear?
All right. So this is HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's no fan of CNN and its coverage of things like COVID, the jab, the shot.
Okay. He made an appearance on CNN.
And Fauci, yes.
And with Dana Bash?
He did.
And she asked him about Anthony Fauci or about COVID?
Well, they got into it over Fauci and COVID policy and coverage from CNN and other news outlets. To which
so
he said
this is Dana versus Robert.
Correct.
Okay, let's hear it.
Clip 9.
I really want to move on, but
you were part of the problem.
No, I wasn't part of the problem.
There was absolute press malpractice.
I'm not debating this with you.
Of course you are.
No, because I'm not debating.
All you know how to do is repeat things that people told you and say, trust the experts. That's what you did during COVID. Now we know that Anthony Fauci, who was the expert, was lying about everything, about masks, about the social distancing, about natural immunity, about the transmission from the vaccine, about the source of COVID. He was lying, and you were punishing people for not trusting the experts. And now you're rolling out the experts again to talk about something that you have no personal knowledge of.
Wow.
We had to edit that down.
That's called a takedown.
That's a mic drop.
Yeah. What he was saying, what RFK Jr. was saying there, you CNN.
Right. And the mainstream media.
You're supposed to be journalists.
Yeah.
You're supposed to question when a government official makes a declaration. They didn't. They were lapdogs for the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Who was it? Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. Was it Jake Tapper? Jake Tapper went and had dinner sometimes with Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
All right. They were buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go have dinner together and we'll talk about what the story's going to look like.
Jake Tapper was the same guy that excused Biden's mental problems.
Yeah.
And then went on to write a book about how Biden had covered it up and, you know, misled the media.
Yeah.
So people were joking that Tapper,
there's a reason people don't trust the liberal media.
Yeah.
There's a reason. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right there just
laid
that episode out very well on the COVID. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of the show, Today's Issues. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris. Chris, bring forth the next story.
Well, it was interesting that we had Frank on to get into things like communism and socialism, because today in Michigan, there is a Democratic Senate primary between a communist and a big government socialist liberal. And the winner of this Democratic primary is going to face Republican Mike Rogers for the U.S. Senate. President Trump weighed in on this situation yesterday in about an hour and a half long press conference from the Oval Office. Here's Donald Trump, clip 3.
I think he's going to be a great senator. But you have a communist versus a socialist. That's the way I look at it. You have a communist versus a socialist. It looks like the communist is leading. We're talking about for the Democrat primary. But for the Republican, you have a very good man, and he should be able to win.
I got to tell you, I think it may be too soon to just predict somebody is going to win something based on the bizarre fanaticism that some people have for Democratic Socialists, because Bernie Sanders, who's not a Democrat, but for some reason they let him decide how the party's going to run things. Bernie Sanders is out there saying that this El Sayed fella, Abdul El Sayed, the socialist communist running for Senate there, that he's able to appeal to both sides. And he's going to, you know, speak to all young people about affordability and things like
both
that.
Both sides being the communists and the socialists?
Oh, well, according to Bernie Sanders, El Sayed is going to be able to reach Republicans.
Uh-huh. Well, Bernie's kind of losing touch with reality.
Well, I mean, it's...
But anyway, here's the thing. There is a U.S. Senate race. There are many of them across the country coming up in November. Michigan, I don't remember the last time Michigan had a Republican senator. Can you look that up?
I will. I got you.
Because this is important. the Democrats are about to, they're going to the polls to, as to possibly elect for their nominee a one of these, the squad type members, the far lefty, these Mandini types.
DSA, mm-hmm. Democrats, Socialists of America.
And if they do that tomorrow, there's a really good chance that the Republican, what's the gentleman's name?
Mike Rogers. Mm-hmm.
Mike Rogers will win. That's what Trump was talking about right there. Go ahead.
Well, for a Republican to win in Michigan,
Michigan's purple,
right.
Purple to blue
for
statewide.
For a Republican to win a seat, like a Senate seat in a purple state like Michigan, he or she is going to need everybody and their brother to vote outside of the big cities.
And they're going to need a bad candidate for the Democrats, and that's what may happen.
Right.
Did you find out the answer to my question?
Spencer Abraham was the last Republican U.S. Senator from Michigan. He served a single term from 95 to 2001.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Since then, they've had Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you could almost call Michigan a blue state, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I only call it purple because the west side of the state has normal people.
Yeah. It's similar to Minnesota. If you, on an election night, if you were to zoom in on the state of Minnesota, it's red outside of the big blue,
Detroit,
the big blue cities.
Detroit, Grand Detroit.
Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor. But if you get over to the western part of Michigan, mm-hmm. I said, that's where a lot of conservatives.
That's where we go for our AFA events.
Yeah, Grand Rapids area.
Nice.
But it'll be interesting to see. If the Republicans can pull off a upset, I would call it an upset in the sense that Democrats have been the senators representing Michigan for, what, two decades almost?
Yeah.
Something like that now. So we'll see what happens there. But
yeah, Democrats are so concerned about this election that the outgoing Democratic senator who said he was going to stay out of it endorsed Haley Stevens a few weeks ago when it looked like this El Said guy, the Democratic Socialist, was going to beat her. And he's still leading comfortably in several polls.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
All right. Let's do this. There are a lot of people in New York City and other parts of the country that think it's wrong to require ID to vote. But somebody
it's racist.
Oh, it sure is. Sure is.
Absolutely. Sure is. Racist to the core to ask for a driver's license to vote.
It's Jim Crow.
Yeah.
It's Jim Crow. It's awful.
Yeah.
You should allow anybody to vote who wants to vote. It doesn't matter. They should not have to have any ID.
They should be able to represent their dead family members too, and vote twice.
Right. So that's the view of many Democrats, mm-hmm. including in New York City.
Yes.
But what, Chris?
Yeah. Well, if you want to buy apples from the government-owned grocery store in the Big Apple now, people like Mayor Zohran Mamdani want you to show an ID to be able to buy groceries from the grocery store.
Wait a minute. I thought he's against having to show an ID to
vote. That's different, Tim. That's different.
But if you go to his government-run grocery store, by the way, have those things opened yet?
He's opening them. Yeah, this is where
are they opened yet?
They're in the process of opening.
Yes, they're working on it.
Some of them are.
Okay, the reason I distinguish between working on it and actually open is when they actually open, they're not going to work, okay?
No, that's right.
They're going to probably close them within 2 weeks or a month because free stuff for everybody doesn't work. But the irony here we're pointing out is these Democrats in New York and other places who are against voters having to have an ID to prove they are who they say they are, when it comes to their government-run grocery store in mm-hmm. New York City, they're saying you're going to need an ID.
Correct.
I'm just trying to explain this for you.
Yeah.
I guess he would say because if we don't do it that way, illegal people are going to.
He doesn't believe in illegal people.
I know he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But if the illegal people use the food, then that's going to take away from his plan mm-hmm. to feed American citizens for.
You know, I think it's discriminatory.
I'm trying to figure out why.
Yes, just think it's absolutely discriminatory to require a ID for food, and also I think that what you need to do is just have the store and open the doors for all people. I don't even think you need any management in there.
No,
you just need to throw the food in there.
I wouldn't even have a check-in, check-out.
No, and just let people go for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure that these people will be in line and be organized. And
take just what they need.
Yes, and they will be polite to one another. If you just open the doors and say, y'all come and get your Campbell's soup and your, you know what I'm saying? Don't you think that's going to be a...
Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So this is some audio from the mayor and others that were at this announcement.
Is this Zoran?
It's Zoran and others.
Mondami?
Zoran and his minions.
Okay, what are they answering here?
Well, they're asked a question about the grocery stores, and you'll hear Zoran and his official that he tosses to talking about how they're going to show an ID or require something like a library card.
Okay.
Clip 12.
How are you going to keep people from taking advantage of that, that deal, basically, and is there going to be a limit on the number of items that someone can take that are discounted at that level from that essential basket?
So our RFP makes very clear that this is a program for New Yorkers to be able to put food on the table, not a program for people to be able to make a quick buck through reselling. I'm going to pass it over to our EDC head, Jeannie Pack, to add some additional details.
Yeah, so if you look at our RFP for the operator, we are looking to make sure that we target New Yorkers, whether it be at sort of a library card-esque, and also we manage who's buying and that is focused on everyday New Yorkers.
So they're going to require something like a library card-esque plan.
Hold on a second. Man, I don't know if it's my hearing or I can't understand New Yorkers, but what did she say?
We're going to require a library card-esque type thing to be able to buy groceries from the store. So they have to show ID. Just like you would hand your library.
So you got to have they don't know what they're doing. they don't know what they're doing. That was not a, let's listen to this answer again. First of all, Zoran Mondami, the mayor, He's getting good at being mayor now because he said, I'm going to pass it over. Did you hear that?
That's what Bert does to Alex.
What he's saying, yes, that's right. He's saying, I got a question I can't answer, so I'm going to pass it over. And so let's hear this is he does it well right here. Listen to him. And then this young lady, I assume it's a young lady.
It is.
I can hardly follow her sentences, but I'm going to try to listen carefully here. Go ahead, please.
How are you going to keep people from taking advantage of that, that deal, basically? And is there going to be a limit on the number of items that someone can take that are discounted at that level from that essential basket?
So our RFP makes very clear that this is a program for New Yorkers to be able to put food on the table, not a program for people to be able to make a quick buck through reselling. I'm going to pass it over to our EDC head, Jeannie Pack, to add some additional details.
Yeah, so if you look at our RFP for the operator, we are looking to make sure that we target New Yorkers, whether it be at sort of a library card-esque, and also we manage who's buying and that is focused on everyday New Yorkers.
What she's saying is we don't know. She's saying we don't know how we're going to stop this. We're going to try to issue them a library-esque card. Is that what she said?
Yep.
Well, okay, my point is here, if we're still thinking through how this thing's going to work on a real life practical level, then it ain't going to work. Okay. Oh. Huh?
No.
Because otherwise he needs to say, we're going to push this back a year till we can figure out how to keep people from getting free stuff who don't need it. That's what they're going to, what they need to do. Cause and also, where does he get the idea of resale?
Oh, I can explain that.
Okay, before I get into that question, because I don't think the idea is resale in so much as you're going to have people going in there getting free stuff and free food. And who doesn't want free food? I mean, most everybody's going to go in there in New York, not most everybody, but probably half the population is going to want to get in there. And so... they're not going in there to get Frosted Flakes to go down the street and resell them.
Yeah.
They're going in there to get free stuff because it helps their pocketbook. Go ahead.
Correct. So the thing that they're talking about resale, the concern from some people is that folks outside of New York City might come to New York City to get free or discounted grocery items.
Not with these gas prices.
And then go out on the street with a card table and sell the stuff they got for nothing or next to nothing.
That's the reason. Also,
concern.
If you own a grocery store or in New York, what's called a bodega, which is a convenience store, basically most of us know, they're on all the city blocks here in New York, and you're trying to sell groceries, and then Mondami, the mayor, opens up a free store. Y'all come get it, and you're trying to compete with free stuff. That's going to hurt your business, seems to me.
And those are immigrant-run bodegas. The vast majority of bodegas.
Don't we already have government programs for food for people who are poor and needy? Don't we? Yeah. SNAP and all that? Don't we already have that?
Yeah. But here's the thing with regards to your comments about bodega owners. One of Mamdani's people was asked about this a week or so ago. Well, and the response was this: well, some people will suffer from our decision to, but it's more important that
that's the answer.
That was the answer. Some people will suffer. So too bad for you, bodega owner. But we think this grocery store over here run by us is more important.
Yeah. I could see a potential class action lawsuit being brought by, let's say, the bodega.
It already is.
Okay.
Actually, in this case, it's the building owners that have launched a lawsuit because he came up with this edict, a couple of weeks ago, that they're going to dox people who own two homes in New York. You're not allowed to do that. So we're gonna publish publicly who you are and your address.
Mm-hmm. The mayor's office is going to do that?
Yeah. Yes.
He boasted about it on X.
Yep.
Wow.
He told property owners to check their mailbox.
What
because
country
there was something
is this
in
taking place in?
Well, these New Yorkers voted for this guy.
They did. Now,
some people say, and I saw the surveys where native New Yorkers did not vote for him. They voted for Cuomo.
Very true.
Another winner. But there, what's the fellow's name? Cuomo wasn't. It was
Eric Adams was the other one.
No, but what's Cuomo's first name? Because there's two of them.
Andrew.
Chris's brother.
Andrew.
Andrew. Mm-hmm. Andrew, the former governor. Right?
Mario was their dad.
Yeah. Super Mario was their uncle. Did you know
that? It's
this?
A me, Mario.
Yeah. It was.
That guy.
What a story.
He was a plumber.
Yes, he was. all right. We will be back with more of today's issues in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.